Please pray with me. So, Lord, we recognize that you are here among us, and we thank you for preceding us to this time of worship and preparing our hearts. Pray that by your grace, your word would be faithfully preached and faithfully heard. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Before Pentecost was a Christian holiday, or before it was an acknowledgement of the time that the Lord poured out his Holy Spirit upon the disciples, it was a Jewish feast. And we learn in Exodus and in Deuteronomy that Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of the First Harvest. And it was 50 days, Pente, from the time of the Passover until the time that God poured out his Spirit upon the disciples and empowered them to do the ministry that he called them to do. It was one of 3 days of obligation for Jews. Jewish men were obliged. They were obligated to go to Jerusalem and meet the Lord in the temple on this day. So they made their pilgrimage from all over parts of the world. And so you can imagine the setting now in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost, where people came from all over, every tribe and language and people gathered together in Jerusalem in order to meet God in the temple. And 10 days earlier, Jesus had met with his disciples. And when he met with his disciples, just before he ascended into heaven, he said this to them. He said, "Go and wait for the promise of the Father until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my apostles." And then from that point, he raised his hands, he blessed the congregation gathered, and he ascended into heaven. So for 10 days now, they're waiting. These weak and feeble disciples are waiting for something to happen in their lives so they can begin their ministry. And then the day of Pentecost came, and as the Holy Spirit came upon them and empowered them and transformed them, they received a new relationship, a new intimacy with God that they never even imagined was possible. They saw the Holy Spirit come, descending like tongues of fire. They felt the Holy Spirit upon them, who rested upon them. And then they heard the Holy Spirit come like a rush of mighty wind. And so what happened to the disciples? What happened to the church when the Holy Spirit came upon them? What was the meaning of this strange event? First, imagine how great it must have been for Jesus and the disciples to have spent those 3 years together. Imagine what it might have been like to wake up in the morning and find Jesus there, maybe praying, and overhearing him pray, and then breaking bread with him. I love that sound. That's a sound of life, so it's great. And imagine what it would have been like to have heard him teach, and to have heard him just muse about the daily events of Jerusalem and Palestine. Imagine what it would have been like to see him do the miracles that he did. I can't imagine it being anything but amazing to have walked with Jesus those 3 years of his life, to be with him morning until night, and to hear and to see and to do those things that were with him, walking right beside him. And then late in his ministry, he says this to his disciples. He turns to them and he says, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go. For if I don't go, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's hard to imagine how, as a disciple of Jesus, walking with Jesus those 3 years, that there could have been anything better than that. But Jesus, in effect, is saying, you think it was great, and it was, but there's something even greater coming, something even more magnificent, something that introduces you to a new intimacy with God that was never even possible when I walked with you. We walked side by side. I could hear Jesus saying to the disciples, we walked together day in and day out. But God will then come to live in you. The God you walked with is going to come and live inside of you and live through you. It's a qualitatively different experience that Jesus is talking to the disciples about, that he's introducing the disciples to, that he's inviting us to enter into. There can be no being closer to God than God living in you and through you. When Ellen and I moved to Albuquerque, to become rector of a church in Albuquerque, we moved into the neighborhood where our church was, but we were still a mile away. And where we lived, we walked this mile to get to church, and it was a normal neighborhood, except for one house in the neighborhood. A guy named Bart Prince, some of you may know his name because he is an internationally known architect, built his home in our neighborhood. And it was beautiful. I mean, it was magnificent. Every time I walked by it or drove by it, I just marveled at this incredible house. Our kids called it the Grasshopper House because it was covered with green tile. And it was just provocative and interesting and a beautiful work of art. And I marveled at it almost every day and for weeks. And then for months, I just couldn't take my eyes off it. I loved it. I love this house. And then one day I was walking by and Bart Prince himself, and I recognized him because I had seen his picture in the paper, was out pruning a tree. And I started talking to him and I thanked him for providing our neighborhood, an ordinary kind of dull neighborhood, with such a beautiful house. And we started talking and he says, "You want to come inside?" It was an amazing opportunity to see the inside of this beautiful house that I had never imagined that I would ever see. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. I think we affirm faith in God the Holy Spirit over and over again, Sunday by Sunday. And we sort of walk past him, the third person of the Trinity, and acknowledge him and his existence. But I hear in this gospel lesson today that he invites us inside. He invites himself inside. He invites us to a new intimacy that we never even imagined was possible with God, that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about this new intimacy in different ways. Jesus says, "We will come to him and we will make our home in him." Our home in him. And then he says, "I in them and they in me." St. Paul says it this way. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ, he lives in me." And then in the book of Colossians, Paul writes, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see the qualitative difference in our relationship with God. Knowing him, walking with him is a fantastic thing. Knowing his words that he will never leave us or forsake us is a fantastic promise. It's an infinitely better thing, a greater blessing by far, to know that God who walked with us is now living inside of us. And that's the promise of Pentecost. My guess is that most Christians are uncomfortable and want to keep God at a distance. And we're uncomfortable with the thought of the Holy Spirit, and we don't give him much thought at all. And we're uncomfortable welcoming him into our lives. And we're uncomfortable with the idea of this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, or God making his home in us. I think we're uncomfortable with that kind of intimacy with God. But the challenge of Pentecost is the wonderful blessing we know of walking with Jesus now. With Pentecost, he comes to live inside of us. And we welcome him into this new home. When the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit, it transformed their lives. It's the greatest proof of the power of God that there is. These dull, defeated individuals who were waiting for something, Jesus said, go and wait until you're empowered, are just waiting in an upper room. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit breaks in and enters into them in a way that changes their lives dynamically. And they're launched into this ministry that in their generation changes the complexion of the whole world. So how is it that we could experience the same empowering, the same intimacy with God through the coming of the Holy Spirit? Jesus answers the question in chapter 11 of Luke. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? To those who ask. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.